You're listening to Around Comics, episode 141. Chicago, this is Around Comics, the comic book roundtable. I'm your host, Sal, and I'm really the only one here today. Actually, we're not doing the roundtable per se today, because last week we all participated in the 24-hour comic book podcast, a little invention by Christopher Crank of the Crankcast. He decided to get a bunch of friends and podcasters together to try and put together 24 straight hours of podcasting nuttiness. And he did, and we were a part of it in one way or another. So we weren't able to do a show of our own last week. So I decided to instead take some of the clips from last week and put them together into a little bit of a highlight reel from last weekend. So that's what we're going to have today. I hope you guys enjoy it. But before we go too far, I'd like to remind everyone that this episode of Around Comics is sponsored by InStock Trades. InStockTrades.com is offering this month's reading selection, The Witching Hour, to Around Comics listeners for an amazing 40% off the cover price. Get your copy today for only $11.97. InStockTrades.com offers a huge selection of the collected editions you need. InStockTrades.com is your source for trade paperbacks, deluxe hardcovers, essentials, showcases, archives, absolute editions, omnibus editions, and more. All at great discounted prices, and remember that all orders over $50 ship for free. Thanks for InStock Trades. And if you're not familiar with what the Club of the Month Club is, or what that book is about, we're doing once a month, one of the panel members, me, Tom, Chris, or Scotty, is going to pick a trade paperback, a DVD, and a CD for us to read, watch, and listen. And then at the end of the month, we're all going to get together and talk about it, and that'll be one of the Thursday episodes. So this month, Scotty picked The Witching Hour by Bacello and, I can't think of the writer off the top of my head, but as the trade paperback. The DVD is Open Range with Kevin Costner, and the CD is Blast Tyrant by Clutch. So you can go to our forum and check that out and find out more about those offerings and what is all involved in the Club of the Month Club, as it's being called for now. Also, I'd like to remind everyone that Around Comics is recorded every Friday night, or usually every Friday night, at 7 o'clock at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles, located at 4835 Northwestern Avenue in Chicago. If you're in the area, please drop by. We would love to meet you. And all of us, actually the 24-hour podcast, it was recorded there last Saturday, and it was a lot of fun. And we usually have a lot of different people show up from time to time at the 24-hour our regular recordings. So if you're in Chicagoland on a Friday night, stop by, and you never know who you might meet there. All right, that is that. Enough of the intro stuff. Now on to the show. Like I said earlier, this is all stuff that I pulled from the 24 hours of the 24-hour comic book podcast. That was done last week. If you haven't tuned into that, if you didn't listen in to that at all, you can go to 24hourcomicbookpodcast.com and check it out if you so please. If you've heard all this stuff before, this is nothing new. I just pulled some different things of the four of us in different capacities on the show and wanted to run it today. Like I said, we didn't have time to do a show last week because we were preparing for the 24-hour podcast. So if you've already heard this stuff, you can just fast forward. Although I will say, at the very end, the last segment that's about, I don't know, 20 minutes long is while it's all stuff pulled from the podcast, it's got a little special twinge to it. So you might want to check that part out anyway, just in case you have already listened. If you haven't listened to the 24-hour podcast, like I said, you can go to the website and check it out there after listening to this. These are just segments that I pulled out. So Without further ado, the first one here was a talk with a comic artist and friend of all of ours, Chris Moreno. Chris is a terrific artist who has worked on stuff like Lemur versus Monkey and Dracula and King Arthur, and he's also doing the Sidekick stuff with Paul Jenkins lately, and he's just a great guy and a just fantastic artist. So if you haven't checked out his stuff, definitely do. But here we have John Suntress, Mike Norton, myself, Tom, and I believe Tom, all talking with Chris on, I think it was hour number 6 on Saturday. So here it is.
But I only want to say,
we finally got this thing to work, okay. And now we're calling, who is it, Moreno? We're calling Chris Moreno.
Hello.
Hey.
Chris.
Yes.
It's the 24-hour podcast, guys.
What's up, guys?
How you doing?
Oh, those guys.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, don't hang up yet, Chris.
You're not listening to the show as it's going up, are you?
What's that?
You're not listening to the show as it's been being posted, have you been?
No, I've got actual work to do.
Attaboy. Well, we got Norton is here, Chris Crank is here, me, Suntress, Sal, and Tom Caters from Around Comics. So I wanted to give you the full lineup.
Crap.
Yeah, we're all here, man. We're all here to talk
Justice
to you.
Justice League roll call.
Oh, yeah. It's the Legion of Substitute Heroes. Don't kid yourself.
I need to get back towards water in an hour or I pass out like Aquaman. You have to dip me completely submerged in water.
It's like super podcast. This is crazy.
What are you working on, man?
I'm doing some Alien versus Predators 2 sketch cards.
Outstanding. Very cool. I didn't realize that they were making a second film. I hope they correct all the mistakes in the first film.
They're going hard on, apparently. So
oh, that's cool.
That's a big plus.
Losing Lance Hendrickson in the first 20 minutes, I thought was a huge mistake in that first film. I don't know about you, Chris.
They always bring him back. That guy's harder to kill than a cockroach.
That's a good.
They just bring him back as a robot. Isn't he a robot in every movie now?
He should be.
Robot. He's a clone. He's a clone robot. You know,
Lance Hendrickson. You can count on on one hand the amount of movies that he actually makes it out of.
That's true. Well, and even
professional dead guy.
Yeah,
and one TV
much.
And one TV series, I guess, because he did live through Millennium.
He lived through Millennium, but I mean. Did he? Because that show kind of rebooted. You don't know what really happened in that
show.
Well,
they kind of wrapped it up in the X-Files, and he had, like, shock white hair. So I think all that happened was his hair turned gray.
Oh, wow.
So he was traumatized, but I think he actually lived.
It's a clone of him.
By the time I got to I think I lost steam on Millennium. I don't even think I saw the end of it.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous. So so you're drawing today, huh?
Yeah, pretty much.
What did you eat for breakfast?
Yeah, sorry.
No, it's all right.
Yeah,
you know,
I'm not, like, belugging or.
I'm just really glad you haven't been listening to the show. Is pretty much what I'm getting to.
Hey, Chris, I'll say it. The little 2-page bits that you guys have been doing in Frontline for World War Hulk have been absolutely hilarious. I've really enjoyed them. They're very funny, and I appreciate the inventiveness in each one because it really is a different concept in each issue. I like the tryouts in particular, the American Idol-like tryouts.
Yeah. I think when Jenkins wrote guy who kind of looks like Ghost Rider in an Elvis suit with a guitar, I was like, all right, I'm down with that. But I wanted to make him look as boring as possible, like not like shredding and like jumping up in the air and stuff, just kind of standing there. And then, that's pretty fun.
So
I think this last one almost got us in a little bit of trouble.
Uh-oh.
Why?
I don't know how many of you guys saw it. Is Johnny the only guy that saw it?
Well, I haven't seen it. I haven't bought any of those lately.
Well, go ahead and describe it, Chris.
Well, basically, like, the Watcher shows up and starts talking about, you know, how the Hulk is, like, laying waste to the Marvel Universe, but they're, like, lesser known and possibly least interesting battles that have taken place. And it's just, like, a quick, like, you know, 10-panel, like, barrage of the Hulk just, like, squashing, like, super, super zealous characters, like Hypno Hustler and, like, Frogman, and, you know, it kind of came, I did a sketch in Pittsburgh of, I called it my preview of World War Hulk Frontline. It was, like, before I started any stories. I had the Hulk flicking Spider-Man's head off with, like, his little finger. And, like, Spider-Man's doing the old, like, you know, 50 cups boxing style.
That's right.
So Paul sent me kind of like a rough layout of like, you know, of like what the whole thing was going to be. And then I sent them the first bits of artwork from it. And they were pretty tight. And we pretty much like scared everybody because they were like, you got the Hulk like killing a lot of people in this. And we're like, well, yeah, sort of. Well, that's a little violent, isn't it? But like, I think it's very like cartoony.
Well, yeah.
You know, like heads just popping off. not like, you know, Kill Bill, where it's just like geysers of blood shooting out of their necks and stuff. It's very light, you know. So like, we had to really kind of like assure them that like, you know, it wasn't going to be like super gory or anything. You know, it was still going to be very kind of funny and kind of like a Tex Avery kind of way.
Did they think that you know, someone was going to really think that those stories are in continuity? And hey, wait a minute!
I was going to pitch a miniseries about all those characters.
Damn you! Way to go!
Well, that's the thing. We were like, we realized like everybody got so bent out of shape about SpeedBob. Like I was waiting for people to throw like, you know, bricks wrapped in Afro wigs or something because I killed Hypno Hustler, or you know, just like send me death threats in the mail and stuff.
You discover the 15
people. One person.
Right, exactly.
Like a mantle of peregrine.
The one person with the Hypno Hustler tattoo is all like, oh, man.
Come on, he's my favorite, man.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Why doesn't anyone like him?
How's the reaction to the summer special been so far, man, for Sidekicks?
Pretty good. Issue 2 came out this week. And,
very cool.
And, you know, I think everybody that sees it and, you know, reads it likes it for the most part. But it's just hard to get people to see it.
I like it because I'm
kind of got hammered at when issue 5 came out so late. So, but everybody at the con seems to really like it. We keep telling everybody, tell their friends, tell retailers especially, because we've had a few stories come back from retailers that just like refuse to order copies for people for some reason. That still goes on.
Taking some sort of moral stand, we will not order a funny book.
Norton says he likes it because he's in it.
What's that?
He can't hear me.
Norton said that, is he in, did you use Norton as a model in Sidekicks?
Oh, yeah. The last page of...
Well, I'm
of
colored the, wrong the or something
that
like
came
that.
Out. Yeah, the colors are very weird. And Scotty's in it, too.
Scotty's in it.
And
yeah.
He's got, like, this white beard. it's like Scotty Young in the future.
Outstanding.
Chris, what else are you working on right now? You got like 15 things, if I know you right.
Usually.
Yeah, well, I try to spin a lot of plates. I got this book that's coming out through Top Cow called Johnny Delgado is Dead.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm looking forward to that, man.
Yeah, first issue's out. Second issue's going to be out.
Okay, I missed the first issue. When did the first issue come out, Chris?
Oh gosh, last month maybe.
All right, I'll have to find
it. It came out in between, like, now and Comic-Con.
Okay.
Because we had preview copies and advance copies of the first issue out there. So I just finished issue 2 of that, and we're going to be working on issue 3 soon. I got a story in the Teddy Scares Volume 2 came out. I got a short story. I've been doing a lot more short stories for the anthologies to try and kind of, you know, get a little creator-owned cred going. Not even cred, just, you know, just to work on my own stuff. It's a hard thing to kind of make time for, and the anthologies are nice because I can do, like, little 6 to 8-page stories. So I got one in the Pop Gun that's coming out.
Oh,
in November.
That's cool.
And, man, I'll tell you what.
When do you have time to do this? I'm sorry, okay. I didn't mean to walk over you, but...
Say, man, you finish your thought, Chris.
Oh, I was going to say, a lot of the anthologies I've been a part of, I've been really lucky because it had some really, really cool creators and cool stories. The Pop Gun one is going to be sweet, I think. And then I have a story in that 24/7 anthology that Ivan, Brandon, and Andy McDonald put out. So.
That was my favorite one in there.
Which one?
Yours in the 24/7.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, that's it. I mean, that's the beginning. That's like my first kind of written story. I mean, that's the first story that I've done, kind of full tilt. And it was cool that it gave me an opportunity to do that.
It was nice.
I just... What's up?
I was going to say it was nice because in the 24/7 book, it was. I thought it was funny, but it was also a sort of a complete story in and of itself for being so short. Because I think sometimes in the sort of anthology books, some of the short stories come across as like a little too clever, but yours was just right. It wasn't, you know, too laffy, but it was pretty funny. And it had an end.
Yeah,
it was good.
It's a mixed bag. I mean, I think sometimes people are also kind of using the anthologies to kind of watch something that they're working on. So you're really only getting maybe the first part of the story or whatever. I mean, they asked me to specifically do something for that. So like I said 6 pages, so. I just worked on fitting it inside there. But, you know, it was definitely like, I like those kind of stories, though. I like doing short stories because they really only have to kind of exist in that particular form. You know, I could potentially do more stories with that character, although that one was pretty cut and dried, like, you know, self-contained. I joked with them, though, because it kind of boils down a lot of elements from all the other stories from the first 24/7.
Yeah.
That it had crime in it. It had foul language and violence, and then also at the end, the lead character got, like, mowed down in a hail of bullets.
Yeah.
And I joked with them. I said, most of your stories ended that way in the first anthology. I said, I'm not going to break the chain.
I love seeing a robot swearing and, like, with a gun for some reason. I think
I think the fact that he was so short, too.
Yeah.
Short little robots that curse a lot, I think are hilarious.
That's what was missing from Buck Rogers, really, when you think about it.
A swearing.
Yeah. Exactly. If Tweaky had actually sworn, then you really would have had something.
And
exactly.
And
beady, 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 suck my dick. You know, that kind of thing.
Ah, yes, Chris Moreno. Always the amusing chap. He's a really good guy. So, like I said before, you should definitely check out his work. He's not only a good guy, but he's a fantastic artist to boot. So, there you go. Next up on the list is Chris Tabor, who, if you listen to the Crankcast, is sort of the Crankcast resident movie guy. He comes on and he loves talking about movies and all sorts of things to do with movies. So, of course, there couldn't be 24-hour podcasts without some movie talk. And at one point, myself and Scotty and I think a couple of who else was there? Mike was involved a little bit. Dave Wachter, Casey. There may have been more. I can't remember. It's sort of a blur. But we all started talking about movies for a couple of hours, and I pulled out one such conversation that I thought was pretty interesting, and went into a lot of different things. So here's that group. I think this is from our 11, I believe this is from. So here you go.
Golden. So, continuing on...
Yeah, to recap the past hour was movie talk. We're going to continue that.
Continuing on with movie talk, I am going to throw a movie out there that I understood why a lot of people loved it, but I wasn't necessarily in love with it. I wasn't that entertained by it. Didn't hate it, didn't have a lot of venom towards it, but it just was like, eh, and that was Memento.
You are wrong. Next.
Well, I think I can understand. I mean, because, like, if you... Like, I loved
I
it because of what...
I like the Care Bears movie.
And that was sweet.
No, I mean, because unless you're like... I think probably you and you, both, you know, all three of us is like, I was blown away by the idea of making a film in that fashion. Making a film backwards and telling it in that way.
Well,
and that's what carries... Well, half of
the best way to relate to the character. Like, you are... Yeah. The character. It's being told backwards. You have to remember the previous scene that just happened.
It's a movie about memory. I mean, about how.
Yeah, it was just the entire concept of it and how it was put together.
Taking the timeline and fooling with that.
Exactly.
Plays directly.
Which is why I like Gus Van Sant movies.
But at the same time, it's.
Well, no, that's what I said. Like, all the things that you guys just said, I know.
See, I
recognized those things. Like, it wasn't like a Malkovich to me where I couldn't. Like, why do people laugh at this?
Why is there a 12-and-a-half floor? I've never been on 12-and-a-half
floor. But to me, Memento was stunning. I mean, it was like, especially when you get to the end and you're like, holy crap, because
my
the
biggest
whole
complaint
thing
was
playing.
The ending
because
it was so that ambiguous.
That was the thing. It was the first movie that I had seen, I think, ever before that. There had been plenty afterwards where I had to talk with other people about what actually happened. How did it actually end? You know,
right.
Which is don't really know.
But how is that a bad thing, though? Look at your socializing.
I don't think it is a bad
You're socializing.
I
do.
Yeah, exactly. I do like that. Like say it. Like a the Donnie Darko pre director's cut.
I own the director's cut, but I haven't watched it yet.
I won't watch the director's cut because they've said it explains more of it. And I was like, well, that's not what I want. What makes it so great is that it doesn't explain it. It lets you explain it.
Right.
You know, you come up with it.
Yeah, I liked it I bought the director's cut, but I haven't watched it yet. And I'm just like, as it was.
See, I had a problem with it. I
didn't like Donnie Darko.
I wanted to like it, but because it wasn't explained enough to me, and I'm too dumb to.
Well,
you know what I mean. It was just like, it's like one of those films.
I'm just the same way. I was like,
I'm so tired because I love Jake movies that just lay it all out for me and tell me what I'm supposed.
Well,
to
I don't have a problem with. I don't have a problem.
I know they're a gay cowboy.
I don't have a problem necessarily with.
I like ambiguity. I mean, I just
I
like
do to a degree. I do
it
to a degree.
How people would not like ambiguity.
I understand it too.
But that's it's like maybe my it's like my it's not recognizing
they
that that's
Wild
the
Hogs.
Point of it.
They don't want to see fucking,
you know what I mean?
Empire or something like that.
It's not necessarily like the like it's maybe that I don't recognize that that's the point of the film.
Yeah.
Is that it's supposed to be you're supposed to try and figure, you know, make up your own mind on what it is. It's like, okay, well,
see, that kind of stuff excites me. It's like, ooh, it could be this, it could be this.
But when you're watching something,
people,
when you're watching something
around it, and other people have different theories, and you're like, really, you saw that and that? Because
right,
I saw
exactly.
this and this.
That's what's powerful about film. That's why I like film so much. Because, like, I mean, like, to me, film is sports to me. Like, that's how I can relate to people. That's how I can talk to people and engage with people. If people start talking about, you know, the Wolverines or whatever.
Wolverines,
Red Dawn. I'll say, oh, you're talking about Red Dawn? Like, no, we're talking about a Sackville sports game. You know, I'm like, oh, I can't relate. But that's what I think film is for. It's just to engage, like, just the whole Gus Van Sant thing. Like, I appreciate you guys' opinion. We had a crazy discourse about it. It was awesome, fulfilling. You know, it
didn't make me like it anymore. Though.
No, I don't. It's not about convincing him.
But I'm saying that interaction, the fact that it did, didn't.
But it's also a,
make it a
barometer
film.
For how you like. You're wrong, but it's a barometer for how you know relate to people. It's just like, oh man, I really like being John Malkovich. Like that movie was dumb. Have you seen Wild Hogs? That's a movie.
Well, that's a bit of an extreme, though. I mean, that's an easy way to.
He's simplifying it.
But I'm not saying you like Wild Hogs.
No.
Did you like Wild Hogs?
It was all right.
Like a bandana.
It was okay.
Always certain movies that come out, and it's always the movies for me that people that come out, and there seems to be the
buzz.
Kind of, the
underground buzz.
Yeah, the underground buzz, like, oh, it's genius. And I'll give another example of another movie where I understand, I guess, a little bit why people liked it, but not where the hilarious came from. Like, before I even say the movie,
Schindler's List, right?
Yeah.
Before I say the title of the movie, at this point, we were still working at Ed DeBevick's waiting tables, and somebody came up and went, I watched a movie last night, and I swear to God, I laughed my ass off
There's
for 2 hours. And I was like, really? And they were like, oh my God, it's so fucking funny. You know, movie The Royal Tenenbaums.
Oh, I love it.
No, I think that is an okay movie.
You were talking about that, yeah.
I think it is an okay movie. But when I watch it, Casey and I watch it together, now remember, somebody told me they laughed literally out loud.
For 2 hours.
For 2 hours. And I watched the movie and I didn't.
I laughed a lot during it.
I laughed
a lot during it.
I didn't even slightly giggle.
I laughed a lot during like Gwyneth Paltrow lost her finger or whatever. And all stuff.
Yeah, that's.
There's something like that that's funny, but I think people who laughed out loud are just. They're disconnected. They don't understand.
Tom's gonna punch you in the head.
I don't know. I laughed out loud.
You can laugh, but you can't laugh out loud for like 2 hours. I mean, it's a bittersweet movie. It's almost a depressing.
Oh, it is. The end is sad. There's a scene in it that is just almost
an hour and a half.
You know?
Yeah.
But that's the thing, though. Here, Tom, come over here.
It's a comic tragedy.
I would really, really like to hear. There's a mic right there, Tom. Right there.
There's one right there.
This is a situation where I'd like to know, like similar to Being John Malkovich, but we'll talk about Royal Tenenbaums. Where
what was the stuff
when I watched it, I saw things and went, oh, like the Gwyneth Paltrow getting her finger cut off. I thought, oh, that's clever, right? And but not in a way like, oh, they're
still laughing.
They're still laughing about it.
But I go, oh, that's
the way it was done. Was like the guy with the pipe,
and then
it's like,
but I
like that, and then she's got the like, wood finger.
Yeah, from
so great.
Yeah.
From your taste, Tom, what about the movie made you like? What about the comedy made
you
like? Yeah,
why
struck
are you? Sick and twisted?
Why am I sick?
First of all, Tom, you have to explain why you laugh.
why I laugh.
Can you do that?
I'm disconnected from reality. It's bittersweet, and I guess I'm twisted. What I laughed out loud at is the thing I like about Wes Anderson movies is like the little continuity things within it that are kind of funny, like the fact that Luke Wilson's character carries around a pepper shaker and is always drinking Bloody Marys. Yeah. Throughout the entire movie. And to me, I laugh. When I say I laugh out loud, I don't mean like every time he took out the pepper shaker. I was like, oh, god damn! Oh, shit, I can't believe he did that shit!
Right.
And, you know, it wasn't like that. I don't laugh.
Have you ever laughed at a movie like that? Yeah,
Benny
I was going to say.
Do you laugh?
Benny Hill, yeah.
Are you, like,
I've peed
you look
myself.
At that, are, you looking at, are you looking at that as from... Because
it's clever.
People who might not know, you write and put on improv. Yeah. Are you looking at that and finding that to be like, I got what they're doing.
I like.
Or are you actually like, if you could step outside of the writer's side of you and actually, are you from a movie standpoint, go, nah, that's the funny
shit. Well,
it's
kind of tough because I think it's the fact that I like that got me into doing stuff that I do.
Okay.
You know, like I don't think
those two things for me are. I have a hard time thinking besides the way that I do about
right.
it. Like, because I look at something like that and I'm like, that's really clever because it's something that. Obviously, if you're going to build, like, a character in a movie, things like that are really cool if you're playing the character mm-hmm. because it's something that you do, that's what your character does. And no one ever has... It's like when you do... When I used to do improv more often, one of the things is, like, if you play a character, it's sometimes it's really fun to, like, make up something that you know about yourself
mm-hmm.
that no one else knows but never really say, but play it, you know, that
right.
way, like, your character's gay. Which all of my characters were, all the time.
Right.
But, I mean, it's just a funny little thing to look at, you know, and every time I'd see it, I'd be like, ah, that's funny. You
right.
know, because it's something that doesn't necessarily jump out to you. I mean, I think just, you know, belly laughing probably. I don't belly laugh at anything except
would you,
people's
would,
tragedy.
Would you guys, and again, this isn't taking anything away from
yeah.
The actual enjoyment of that movie, but
yeah.
would you be able to admit that there's the other side of... Because I find movies
oh,
like
yeah.
that there are the people who don't genuinely
I mean, my
find...
My dad doesn't like it.
They don't genuinely find it funny, but will act as if... Because just
I
like
think
anything,
it's
if you are a music fan... Yeah, if you are a music
yeah,
fan...
Anybody will do that for any kind of
yeah,
fan.
Yeah, there are, and for me, that's what sometimes... And that's almost
they
what
recognize,
I feel like.
Oh,
almost,
I am supposed to enjoy this.
Right.
I will now say that I enjoy
I have
it.
To be part of the
because
cool
it's part
elk.
Of my... But, you know...
I'm done. I'm
anything
done
away
now.
From people who legitimately.
No, no, oh, not at all, not at all.
Dollar
fuck
bucks.
Those people. They're everywhere.
Right.
I express.
Well,
it.
It's
you
like
know,
I remember. Sorry. I remember a situation where we went to see Garden State at the movie theater, and in Madison.
What'd you think of that?
Garden State.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed it very much. So.
I enjoyed it too.
I haven't seen.
I'm with you.
On an aesthetic level, just like it's this actor's first movie. Just every shot is framed very well. Just like it's visually appealing.
Sure.
So on that level, I was like, "Well, that's pretty good." And then there's like some clever things like the silent Velcro and stuff like that. But when we were there, like, you know, Madison is kind of small. At the time, we only had one art house theater.
Mm.
So people going there was like, "I'm going to see an art house movie. I'm going to appreciate this."
Yeah.
So I am
yeah.
told this is a comedy. So I shall laugh at this.
Right.
So the
yeah.
people, and this is like, there was a line going out the door. It just like people wanted to see this movie. So I go in there and like, it's another movie like very Wes Anderson-esque
mm-hmm.
in tone. It was not, like, laugh-out-loud funny, but it's amusing
right.
mostly throughout. But there are people behind you just like, whoa! Oh! Just guttural laughs.
One
just like,
the
but they seem so false.
Mm.
They seem
yeah.
false. It seems cued, like they're cued to do it.
Right.
Versus
yeah.
coming from
within,
you know? And it's just
but
annoying.
I would say,
like, you guys just
as far as,
it.
Like, Wes Anderson movies go, like, there was a point where I felt he went too far. And I saw... And this is The Life Aquatic.
Oh,
but which I do like the
movie.
I do like the movie. The first 45 minutes, I don't like.
Yeah.
Because it's too much of that Wes Anderson
yeah.
way of doing things. A little too self-referential.
Yeah.
A little too much making you kind of go, get it. That's funny. But then the last hour and 20 minutes completely
yeah.
saves that movie for me.
Where I
love the last half of that
the
movie.
Thing that, Garden State, there's two things. The one thing that bothers me a lot about Garden State is there's occasionally a line in the movie where I just go, that's like the thing about the shins when she puts the headphone. I'm sorry, I love the
I
shins.
Like, yeah.
But
yeah.
they're never going to live that down in my mind because every time I hear that song, I turn to my girlfriend and go, this song is going to change your life. And we laugh. It's ridiculous every time I say
it. It was Zach Braff's personal music taste entering his screenplay. Like,
yeah.
I'm listening to this now. It changed my life. I was inspired to write this movie, and it's you know, it's... I hadn't heard of the Shins before that. Oh, actually, I have, but I haven't heard them. I've heard of them. And so it's just kind of like, I'm making a movie. If I can get people to buy the CD, that would be awesome. They'd be huge. And then they have, like, more CDs. And I can understand that from there. But it actually, it does take you out of the movie. It just takes out of the movie because it's just yeah, like, he's well, obviously the writer director is trying to get you to listen to this.
Song. And it's said, well, listen to this song. All romantic.
Yeah, all romantic.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, but you can't like, but yeah, I mean, for me, like, while I don't enjoy the Shins, and you know, but
I do.
I understand
you enjoy
that.
The Shins?
I understand that, like, art and music, like all the things meld together. So. I feel like that's a cool thing for him to be. I mean, if he has the ability to put together like some bands that he wants and
right.
be able to,
because it's a great soundtrack though. It exposes you to a lot of artists that I like, but I don't think I would have known about.
Sure.
You know, so like, you don't want to like credit Zach Braff for like exposing everyone to these bands, but it really helps. And
huge.
Yeah, I mean, like even with like The Last Kiss, which he didn't direct or anything, but he definitely was the.
What was
producer.
That Joshua Radin dude that he
Josh
put...
Josh Radin, yeah.
Yeah.
Very good.
That he put
I
out...
I have bought that CD, man.
The little whispery, you know, folk singer.
And Sissy Spacek's daughter, the chick from Orange County,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
She was, like, the female singer on that.
Yeah. Orange County... You know, there's a person that I find to be an absolutely hilarious person that I... is Jack Black.
Yeah.
Jack
Black's great. I wish...
Wow, you're in the minority.
No.
Way to go out on a limb.
I'm saying that you that there's a perfect like there to me is an example of a really really funny guy that they can't like he takes the movies and then he can't the funny thing about Jack Black they usually take away.
Problem is Nacho Libre, which is
never
one
seen
of,
it.
One of the worst never movies. Of
well, it was it happened yeah. long before. I mean,
yeah. I mean, like I thought Jack Black could do no wrong because I'm like I like his personality and like movies like School of Rock are written around
yeah.
him. You know, it's like. Mike White, who wrote School of Rock, mm-hmm. is like, I'm going to write this movie for
sure.
Jack Black. And like, that works perfectly.
That's one of the better ones.
Like
but like stuff
D,
like Shallow Hal.
Yeah, Shallow Hal worked fine, too. Mm. No, Shallow Hal is like, it's Fairly Brothers, they do gross-out comedies or whatever with heart. And the heart always comes through for me. Even Heartbreak Kid, which just came out this weekend, has some heart to it. But... Either way, like...
I think they just throw the heart in there so they don't get sued.
No.
Or picketed.
No, because, like, they
to me, that's what it seems like.
You know what,
we're going to make fun of this minority group,
you
but
know, that's
we're going to make it
they were
okay
accused,
by...
They're accused of that, and they donate so much money to all these charities, like Special Olympics and stuff. And
well,
was,
so
like,
they can get away with it.
When they put in those handicapped people, like, in roles, you know, into, like, positive roles, I mean, they're just... Putting these friends, these people that they met. And
yeah, I just never found their movies funny.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Like I always thought it. I always
but
felt. I actually felt a little.
Comedy
like
is subjective.
I watch their
yeah.
movies and
so
I feel a little worse off. Like that, I'm watching. their movies.
I like
you
Shallow
know,
Hal.
It's like
I
kind of feel like a jerk
well,
watching.
But I don't find Shallow Hal to be like for me when I'm going to like when I'm going into something especially that's around Jack Black. That to me did not feel like a Jack. Like I didn't feel like I got. I felt like I got
I
a Farley movie.
I thought it was great because like he was his wacky ass self, and then he mm-hmm. became like a sensitive guy, which is like showed a different side of him.
That's
which
when
I'm,
he works
really
the best.
Was,
yeah,
I
you
thought
have
it,
to give Jack Black can't just be like, hey, McClellan, look at me.
Oh, I worked in
High Fidelity.
Yeah, he was
High
phenomenal.
That put on the map.
He still had the human side of him in that.
What's
movie.
The one with Stiller? The
I hate Ben Stiller's movie.
Envious. Or Envy?
Oh, Envy.
Oh, that's a...
Yeah, but he's funnier than shit.
He's funny, but that movie's...
Oh, the movie itself
a disaster.
Is...
From the director of Rain Man and Diner and all these great movies comes Envy.
Yeah, any movie, for me, personally, that Ben Stiller makes himself, I feel to be terrible, terrible, like, a collection of inside jokes between him and his little squad that are never funny to me. Like, Zoolander...
Zoolander's a great movie.
Okay, you're
how
wrong.
How many times have you seen Zoolander?
You're wrong.
How many times have you seen Zoolander?
You do have to watch it multiple times.
I agree.
Four times.
Have you?
Zoolander, that was my 9/11 recovery movie. Because it was like 2 weeks after 9/11. It was like, and I remember like they were promoting it on talk shows like, it's a comedy, it's after 9/11. Maybe you go see it and enjoy it. And I was like, this isn't as funny as I wanted it to be, you know? But then on multiple viewings, I'm like, this movie is, it's funny. It's a funny mm-hmm. movie. It's really well done. And but it's stylish, and it's, you know, a lot of comedies are lazy in, as far as the directorial style.
Oh, sure.
So I appreciate comedies with style and laughs.
I find, like, for me, I think that, like, the Ben Stiller, it's always, like, him, And it, the thing is I like the guys.
I think that's anything. It's like when, you get, when somebody's given too much control.
Yeah, I like
most
the guys themselves. I like Ben Stiller. I like the Wilsons. I like those guys. But when Ben Stiller's in control of it all, I feel like it's their chance for their little friendship to be like, this stuff's funny.
Maybe
and we've told this
that
joke.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's just a point in any of those things, you know, and I think you get it in comics, too, where it's like somebody's just, you know, gets to a point where they get so much control over something, right. And there's one standing over their shoulder
like
going,
Kevin
yeah,
Smith
maybe
movie.
Not. Maybe not. Maybe that's not a good idea. Maybe
that can happen, but the problem is that that's when you can get some of the best
stuff. Absolutely, you can. You know, but you can also get...
Like, okay, let's take the chainsaw.
Yeah, no, I agree, but
like,
it's further and
like
far between. Because
I'll go through all the crap ones.
So that you get the rare one that's phenomenal.
Because that one makes it all worth it.
I don't disagree with that. I'm just saying that a lot of times you get that from creators of anything. They get too much control power.
So, you know, when you take some... I remember seeing a documentary on Hitchcock or whatever, and they were comparing him to the guy who produced Gone with the Wind. What's his name?
O. Selznick?
Yeah, David O. Selznick. And they're comparing the two because they worked together on movies and then they went off and Selznick hated Hitchcock and all this kind of stuff. And then Selznick, who went on and did movies where he was just going to, like, I'm just going to do it anyway. I'm going to break convention and I'm going to bring sexuality into it. And, you know, and he comes out with crap, you know. And then you get Hitchcock, who says, you know, I'm going to work within the boundaries and within the rules,
mm-hmm.
but I'm just going to keep
pushing.
Well,
he was able to guide himself.
Yeah. Right? I'm just going to keep pushing on the edge.
He could self-edit.
And I'm going to go around the rule, and I'm going to play with the rule.
Well, yeah, because he understood
stuff like that.
That,
and he came up with better, because a lot of times
it's not good enough just to break rules. That's that can't be your only goal.
You have to be good at them first.
Well, sometimes staying within the rules, but really... You're undermining the rule while staying within the rule.
What's the thing?
You know what I'm saying?
And
that comes out with
before you
can
break the rules, you have to understand the rules.
I mean, we see
a lot
that
people
drawing.
Set out to, like, break the rules before they
yeah, they
know
that was art school.
Know what they are.
Yeah,
when I went to art school, and that's everybody wanted to break the rules.
Nobody's,
so it's like, you got to learn how to draw the cat before you take the cat's head off.
I felt that way. I mean, I feel that way. And I know everybody has a different opinion, but with, like, Kevin Smith movies.
We just talking about Shallow Hal. I don't remember.
Where Kevin Smith's for so long because his movies were so cheap to make and mm-hmm. The studios made a lot of DVD money off them. Free reign. And then when, like I said, he goes to make Jersey Girl, which he hates now.
He does not hate. He defends it.
Yeah.
He does not anymore.
I
do listen to this podcast. Okay. And if you watch... if you watched, I forget which DVD that came out that has like a 2-hour sit down with just him and Mosier, they will say that they were miserable on it. Mosier almost wanted to quit the movie industry because of it, and it was because that studios had involvement. And they did not. I mean, they were so used.
Miramax gave him all his money for all his movies.
But I'm saying, what I'm saying
is
the
most.
They gave him a huge budget. Therefore, they had to have somebody behind him saying, "Hey." No, yes, no. Like, sometimes somebody needs, at some point in their life, somebody has to tell somebody no.
Right.
And to me, just for my taste, it made Jersey Girl a more solid movie.
Movie.
As opposed to him kind of being free reign, kind of just doing whatever. Because I think Kevin Smith is a very, very, very overrated filmmaker, very overrated writer.
Sorry.
It, just in my opinion, I feel, don't get me wrong, I think his outlook on things is good. It's like a guy who I go, God, I agree with the way that you look at things. I just think that you kind of accidentally stumbled into success, and it has, and even, like you said, you just listened to this podcast. If you listen to his outlook, he's so wrapped up on what people think of him that it really affects.
Well, he says he's not. He says he's not. He tries not to be, but
yeah,
I agree.
I'm not
he
either,
does.
But
yeah, he, to me, he's like, and I thought he. His filmography has a perfect example of the movies that nobody says anything to him about, and then you get a movie like Jersey Girl. Now, whatever falls in your
taste.
To me,
I think the Jersey Girl, his issue with Jersey Girl was Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez. That was her role was completely cut out.
No, I'm gonna have to go home and watch the DVD.
But it's the only one of his movies that are like that. Like, everything else has a stamp. Like, Jersey Girl.
Yeah, but that's the best part of the problem.
At times felt
though.
Like a Kevin Smith movie, but didn't always feel like a Kevin Smith movie. All of his other movies, always like, I'm watching a Kevin Smith movie. You can watch any 5-minute segment of
Well, no, but
movie.
I'm saying...
No, but that, I think that's the problem. I think, yeah. I mean, that's part of the problem. To me, like, I didn't see that movie until after it had come out, and everybody panned the shit out of it, and it was horrible.
Even
and then and
like
it was like years later, and I rented it, and I watched it, and I'm like, oh, that was pretty good. That, I mean, I really enjoyed the film, and I'm a huge Kevin Smith. I like his other movies and everything, and to me it was like I really felt bad about that movie doing so badly because I was like, wow, that was a step in his evolution as a filmmaker, and now... He went back and did Clerks 2.
Not
and
only
he's,
did he
and
go
he's
back,
just
but
killed,
he, no. but he went way backwards.
Oh, way backwards. Clerks 2
Clerks
is
2 is terrible.
Clerks
probably.
2 is good. The only thing I have.
I thought Clerks 2.
Oh, this conversation is over.
Wow.
No, listen.
Whenever you, whenever in your film career, whenever.
Clerks 2 is
whenever, hold on, hold on. I have a thought.
What the hell is wrong with you?
I have one thought.
You look. You talking to me
hold
about
on.
Clerks 2?
Clerks 2 sucks.
Clerks 2 no,
hold on.
Sucks.
Hold on. When you get to a point in your career that you are using donkey shows as a linchpin in your
don't
thing.
See Heartbreak Kid.
You have
there was a donkey show with a donkey
you,
cock.
You have
and
officially,
in.
I mean, literally, when you go,
it was
I got a great
donkey.
Idea, guys. We're gonna bring a donkey in and a guy who's gonna have sex with a donkey.
It's a subplot. It's a subplot. It's not the plot.
I think that's pretty good advice from Scotty. You know, if your career ends up involved with a donkey show somehow, it's it might be time to hang him up. You know, so we'll have to remind him that when that graphic novel comes out and donkey shows in it. But that was some of the very interesting movie talk that was involved on the 24-hour podcast. If you'd like to hear more of that, there's plenty more there for that. So next up, we have a very special guest. John Suntress called up one of his buddies and got him out of bed to talk with myself and Chris and Tom about comic books. This is Marvel's very own Brian Michael Bendis, the guy behind Powers and Mighty Avengers and the other Avengers and Skrulls and Not Like That and all those lovely, wonderful things that we love about Marvel Comics. So we had a chance to talk to him about a bunch of different things, and he was a really cool guy. So here's some clips of our conversation with Bendis.
Hey, Brian Bendis. How you doing? Welcome to the 24-Hour Comic Podcast. How you been?
Why are you doing this?
Why not? Because it's there.
We have nothing else to do.
Yeah, it's
are you like raising money? For charity
we're
or something?
Raising children. I mean, I guess you could say in the abstract sense we are kind of raising money.
Yes, donate to Hero right now.
No, it's a free comic podcast. It's a long story, but it's a pleasure to talk to you.
Use a couple of bucks.
You got Mike Norton here.
I'm Mike Norton.
Hi.
Chris Niesman, Brian Salazar, Tom Caters from Around Comics.
Hi, guys.
The lovely Hello. Chris Krenk Hello. From Devil's Due, and yours truly, your chronicler of the Bendis tapes.
As crazy as we are for doing the 24-hour podcast, we actually have a guy here doing a 24-hour comic book, even though it's not 24-hour comic book day.
Yeah, Chris Burnham is like doing an absentee ballot for the 24-hour comic book and is doing it while we're doing it.
Yeah, I have a question about all this.
Please.
Yeah.
Why are you doing this?
Dude, you're going to have to ask Chris Krenk.
It's like we're masochists.
I knew you'd be up. So I basically that's why we're calling
so
you.
So you thought that our 3-4 hour podcast that we do weren't quite annoying enough?
No.
Is that what this is?
It's a different venue, my son.
I do like in your guys' podcast where it gets towards the end where it becomes sort of a fever dream where all the questions sort of meld together into one.
Norton's at
and
that.
I think and I start to doubt my own mind about whether or
your
not
own
I've
sanity.
Heard. I'm like, I heard this question, I think. And then you say, I think you heard this question.
I'm like livid at the end of those things. Like when we're at like question 128, I'm always like ready to kill somebody. And I think Brian.
How many hours have you done this so far?
This is our.
This is not, the 17th
no,
hour.
Hour 17.
This is the 17th hour.
Oh, really? This is the 17th hour?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
So congratulations.
Home stretch.
Only one work day to go.
How far are you, speaking of events, your events coming up, how far are you into Ultimate Origin and the Skrull Invasion?
Well, Ultimate Origin, I was very close to, like, I have like 1.5 issues left to go, and then it got bumped off the schedule, even though it's been solicited because
no
the material, it's backing up. There's material that's coming after it by Jeff Loeb will not be ready till like late next year. So they decided not to stockpile a bunch of stuff at the same time. So Ultimate Origin is not coming out till like late next summer, believe it or not. So
wow.
I'm going to not touch it for a while and
okay.
come back to it, even though, like, three issues are drawn already. It's weird.
Oh, that's well, that's wild. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I know. It's weird. Like, it's all on time, and it all looks great, and it, I'm very, very proud of it. And then they called me up and said, oh, listen, we have we got a scheduling conundrum here, and we don't know what to do. And I was like, yeah, okay, yeah, bump it, but we got to now we got to bump it till after Skrulls because I can't have it come out at the same time as Skrulls.
Sure.
And so, you know, there you go.
There you go. Well, what about
it'll be nice when it comes out. It just they were right. It is supporting other material, and that other material just won't be ready. So you don't want it just to float out there.
Okay. Well, everyone always was curious when you do a live interview what you're currently writing. So
I'm wrapping up the second issue of Secret Invasion.
Okay.
Like House of M and Civil War, these are much harder to write and take much longer to write than a normal issue.
Okay.
But I'm a ducks in a row in a big way, so I'm getting that done. And I'm about right under it on the two Avengers books. Like, I'm writing, like, whatever issue, I'm writing them all at the same time, so I'm writing them chronologically.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
Now, you know, have they announced who's replacing Cho? On
Well, Bagley's going to do the next arc, so that'll carry us into the year 2009, the way Cho's finishing up the sixth issue.
Okay.
And I love Cho. I'm like, come on, finish it.
I was going to say, Bagley will have his issues done before Cho
has Bagley
his
has, no, no joke, Bagley has the entire arc done.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sitting there. I don't mean to embarrass Cho or anything like that.
No.
But, Bagley just—he's like done. So we're actually, me and Bagley are actually working on our next project. Like, we're done with Mighty Avengers. So they haven't announced who the new artist is, but it is someone surprising, not someone people will expect. I'm actually kind of excited to see the reaction to it.
You've decided to go back and start drawing again?
Pardon?
You've decided to go back and start drawing again?
I don't know
about
that.
So Frank is going to do the annuals with me. We're going to go right to Mighty Avengers Annual Number 1.
Very cool.
And it will be an all-female Avengers cast fighting female villains.
Sweet. Nice. Excellent. I want a big pillow fight. I think that'll be great.
Yeah, it's called Pillow Fight.
Sweet.
No. Like, that was the first draft. I'm looking at it right now. The new title is Hairbrush Incident.
Like
so.
Can we get some oil or pudding in there, maybe?
Somehow they write a female Quinjet.
I'll throw one at you. So, you know, we got the new Avengers Annuals coming out. That's coming out, like, in January. And then issue 38 will be a very special issue that focuses on Jessica Jones and Luke Cage called The Breakup. And it is drawn by Michael Gatiss.
Oh, that's awesome, man. Good.
Yeah, very excited about it.
Well,
I don't want to ruin it for you. I don't want to tell you what happened.
Well, I hate the title because I love that couple. They're a lot of fun.
Well, it's a very stressful time
in
a young couple's life.
Sometimes people drift apart, Chris.
Hey, Brian, I wanted to ask you about Ultimate Spider-Man with Stuart Immonen. Is that how you pronounce
it?
Yeah. The issues with it, I'm a huge fan of his work, and I just
me think too.
It's just awesome on that book. But for you, you know, you obviously had, you know, the huge run with Mark. Having Stuart come on, has there been any sort of almost like recharge for you on that book or anything, or just,
you know what? I guess there is, even though every issue feels like a recharge. Like, every issue, it never feels like, oh, another issue. Every issue is a very emotional and exciting endeavor, you know. But no, with Stuart, it's like, I'm such a huge fan of his, and it's such a big deal that he's doing it, that you want to make sure that, much like I felt with Bagley for the last 50 issues, like, I didn't want Bagley to quit, so I would try to write like so well that he would have to want to draw. Like, he would never want me to go, ugh, I don't want to do this. So I'm like writing to impress him, to try to get him to stay, and right. he's the pages, and he has in like a page a day, so every day there's a great page from him, and that's like the best. It's so exciting. So yeah, no, it's really been a dream come true. And you know what? Sometimes you pick and you got the best intentions, and it just doesn't work out. But in this instance, it's maybe one of the best decisions that's ever been made in my whole careery thing here is to follow Mark. It's been amazing.
Yeah, it has been really good. So.
Yeah, he really is something, and I'm trying to let him know that whatever he wants to do, we'll do. You know what I mean? Like, let me know. Like, I've thrown a lot of ideas at him that I thought would be cool for him, but whatever he wants to draw, it let me know, and we'll write it for you, you know?
Right.
Everything's really coming up, Bendis.
See, you're just drunk and tired. I'm boring you. I'll tell you what's coming up with Stewart is we got Spider-Man and his amazing friends, Firestar and Iceman.
Yes.
Nice.
We're doing that, and I got permission. I can't say which one, but I got legal permission to ultimatize villains from the 1967 Spider-Man cartoon that have never appeared in a comic book.
Very cool.
There's like 10 villains that appeared in that show.
Go to Wikipedia.
Yeah, you got people scrambling.
They're all there. That's
Skyboy making his triumphant return. I love Skyboy, of course.
Who are that, you? Yeah, they're awesome, and I got permission to pull those out. So
one of your other series that I've been a long time fan of is Powers. How's work going on that series? And you and Mr. Oming still rolling along on it?
Oh, yeah, no, you know what, the bump in the road was, and Mark is, Mike has said this publicly, the bump in the road was some personal issues he was having that he's long since gotten past, so he's very dedicated to getting Powers out on a monthly schedule for the rest of the year, and I honestly couldn't be happier about it, so, yeah, he's back, baby.
That's cool, and is Jen editing the book now, or is CB still editing it?
No, CB is the editor of the book. Jen is helping out as a comic nerd and the Uber Powers fan from years before we'd even met her, but she's just helped us get past. We had some production bumps that weren't our fault, but nonetheless our fault because it's our book, and she helped us pass them. So, like next week, the Powers trade's coming out. It's been delayed. Powers trade, new issue of Powers next week, new format, more pages.
Attaboy.
So. Any word on the second hardcover?
Second hardcover being solicited for November, already in production, and will be out for Christmas, along with a new printing of the first hardcover, which is sold out.
Very nice.
So God bless all of you.
Buy it. It's the holiday season.
Yes. No. We actually printed. We thought would keep it. It would be enough for a couple years. Like we actually invested into it, you know, and it breathed through in a year. So we were pretty excited about that.
It was beautiful, man. I loved it.
Is the Marvel Knights?
I love them, too. I love buying them from other people, so I couldn't wait to get them out for Powers, you know?
Yeah. Now, you mentioned the format change. What's how many pages the single issue is going to be, and what are you guys throwing in there?
Yeah, it's the Powers since issue 25 is now a 40-page book, which means it's about 35 pages of story and art. A buck more, but it's on better paper and better cover stock. We needed more pages per issue. We were just always struggling to get all the stuff in there that we wanted to get in there.
Sure.
And so we bumped it up, and it was about time for a price increase, but I hate doing that for no reason. That always kind of annoys me. But so it kind of met you guys halfway and give you more for the price bump. And what we really needed was more story pages, and now we get them.
Struck a hard bargain.
Yeah, you know what? It's weird. Like, there's a lot of like indie books that are just seen by the people who are buying them, and the retailers who buy them is more prestige, just the purchase of them, just because of the schedule or whatever. So we thought we'd like match the format of that for Powers. Like Powers is perceived that way, so we kind of created a format that isn't unlike the Civil War issues, but thicker, that kind of match how it was being perceived. So,
very cool.
Cool. Well, with all your Avengers stuff that you've been doing, I kind of wanted to pick your brain. What character that you're doing in either of the Avengers titles are you having a lot more fun than you thought that you would? If there's a character,
that's a good question. There's always a character like when I was on Ultimate X-Men. Like a Storm, like Aurora, that's not a character I ever, like, gave that much thought to, you know, as a fan. And then when I started writing her, I'm like, I love writing her. Like, I was, like, surprised how, like, I wanted to write her in the, like, as the foreground character in every scene. So, and for here, it's probably Ares. Ares is a lot of fun to write, because even with the thought plumes, you get to write this guy who says exactly what he thinks and is just a douchebag about it. But he's not wrong what he's saying. He's just saying it as douchebaggy as possibly fit. So, you know, and it's like the, as close to the opposite of me as there is a speak out of war.
You enjoying the writing device of using thought balloons again, Bri? You're like the guy that kind of...
Yeah, you know what? There's always that wrestle about how many is too many, and one too many might as well be 100 too many, you know?
Yeah.
So you got to make it perfect. But, yeah, I enjoy it immensely. Because it's also, there's also in the thought balloons a lot of clues to the Skrull thing. Yeah. Now people know about it. They can kind of read there and see if they're picking any shit up. But it's funny how, like, someone has a dark thought. They really upset some people online. They really like it. Like, I forget what it was, but someone was so angry at Hank Pym for creating Ultron. They said, "Jesus, kill yourself in a thought balloon." And someone goes, "That's a horrible thing." You know, and it's just a fleeting thought, but you know, it sends people insane. It's amazing.
Yes.
Well, do you mean people on the internet got upset about something?
Why, yeah, it's amazing. What? It's amazing.
Unpredictable what people will react to.
Well, I was actually very worried because for the first time since literally I started Ultimate Spider-Man, Newsarama got behind something of mine, which is that when they announced the Skrull stuff, people generally seem to be into it, and I'm like, uh-oh.
You got the family down to the shelter as quickly as possible.
I literally said to Jim McCann, who like does publicity at Marvel, I said, are they fucking with me? I was confused by the positive reaction. I've never had it before. It was weird. Usually the better the book is doing, the more I should go to hell and die and put on a Hawkeye costume and shove something on my ass, whatever. So what did Sean McKeever tell you guys? Anything cool?
I wasn't here for Sean.
He was at a wedding.
Yeah, there was two best men at the wedding.
No single women.
He was free open bar, though. That was good. What else did Sean have to say?
We discussed the fact that people think he eats babies because he told them he does, and he seems surprised by that.
Yeah.
Which I thought was surprising to tell people.
He mentioned something about Dwayne McDuffie. He was saying Dwayne was...
He ate dinner with him.
No, he didn't.
Did they break bread over gravity?
They talked about gravity and...
Did they settle everything?
I think so, yeah. I think
we discussed the sexual orientation of gravity. We found that not everyone was on the same page.
Yeah, we weren't all sure.
Should I tell him now that gravity is a Skrull?
Oh, don't do it.
Oh.
Mike, did you hear that?
I told him he shouldn't have left Marvel. You leave Marvel, your characters become Skrulls. That's it. No more creator points for him.
Nice.
That's how it goes.
Norton will choke you.
He's already borderline losing his mind doing this.
You missed Scotty Young. He went home already. He could only last about 14 hours, and then he had to leave.
He had a good run, though. I was impressed.
Yeah.
Although, Scotty, you wind him up, and he can't stop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's a nice guy. I hung out with him in Toronto once. He's a nice guy.
That's cool.
Yeah, we got to get you and Scotty to work on a project.
I would work with Scotty.
That'd be a good combination, honestly.
Yeah, I absolutely would work with Scotty.
I know he's in love with Dazzler. Or no, Cloak and Dagger.
Everyone's
in love with Dagger.
If that Dazzler would have stuck, and then like 6 months from now, Scotty gets a call about Dazzler, and he's like, I don't even know who the fuck Dazzler is.
Who the fuck is Dazzler?
You know, given
Cloak and Dagger. My Xbox screen name was Disco Dazzler up until recently.
You know, given your love of street-level characters, I'm surprised that you don't have a Cloak and Dagger pitch that I know that's what Joe Q is waiting for, is the right pitch, because there's always buzz about them. And when are they going to come back? And I'm surprised a guy like you doesn't have an idea for that.
It's on my list of things to do in Ultimate Spider-Man.
Yes, I remember you saying that.
Tandy Bowen goes to Peter's school. She's been running for class president now for the whole run of the... Yeah, every time you're in the hallway, you see a sign for Tandy Bowen. So she'll appear eventually.
She's going to be like Reese Witherspoon in Election, basically?
Yeah, exactly. No, it's the school where everyone has superpowers. Because the government's going to shut it down eventually.
Register the school.
Dude, I'm expecting a grisly death for Principal Suntress. I'm waiting for it.
You can. We'll see how this edits.
Okay. There's no edit. Yeah. What are you talking about? Edit.
You're really going to embrace.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. There will be no. All right, listen. What I said before, I need you to cut that out.
Yeah, this is going up in an hour. So
I actually heard one of you nod off during my Powers answer.
No, it was all right. No, I was going to say you're really
going. I heard a doze. I heard someone's head banging against the microphone.
You're really going to embrace, really truly embrace decompression and kill Principal Suntress over like six issues, like a very slow.
Oh, like the temptation of of Christ.
Yeah,
I like that. Good flailing.
Six issues
of flailing.
A quick scene cutback. To Principal Suntress, like, bleeding to death in the school basement.
It's going to be the debut of Ultimate Hate Monger, and it's going to be a prolonged torture scene like Hostel 2 or something.
Thank you, Monica.
Nice.
Fantastic.
Hanging upside down naked, putting stuff and things, whatever.
I'm all for it.
Not that I've given it thought, John.
No, never. Thank you. Hey, when's the Illuminati 5 coming out, man?
I don't know.
Is it okay? That's something.
A lot of things happen once Mighty Avengers 6 comes out.
I see.
Mighty Avengers 6 comes out, then Avengers 7 comes out, then Illuminati 5 can come out, then a lot of things can start shipping.
I'm hip. Okay.
So it didn't come out. Your LCS just didn't get it.
No, that's
the correct answer.
That's not true.
So the cool thing is, like, once it's done, like, all these other, but, like, everything else is done, so it'll go boom, 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 April.
All right.
Well, speaking of Illuminati, it just kind of occurred to me because you're talking a little bit about before about how much shit you're one of those guys that you do get an inordinate amount of shit for
I do
all this stuff. but then you look at I think about something like the Illuminati 4 and it's like you pick a character like the Beyonder. And I mean, isn't that just sort of asking for it at some point?
I told John this. Listen, every once in a while, I'm a big fan of, I'm a big fan of stories with endings you can interpret. You know, I just like that.
Yes.
But I realize that isn't, that isn't the way to go every
single
time.
It's hard to put it in Wikipedia.
In this instance, I thought there was enough material there to do that, which I know is annoying to some, but you got to do what you feel you got to do,
No, I thought it was good.
But regardless of that, I do not think that anyone involved in that book got nearly enough credit for the balls to
pick the Beyonder.
Bring the Beyonder back in the suit. With the Jerry Curl.
You're here.
This is
2007, and we didn't do anything to that character to reinvent him.
I want an issue where you go back and explain why a character who could appear as anything or do anything still chooses to dress in the same manner.
I actually know why. No, that's the thing, too. For some people yelling at me, I said, listen, I have recently reread Secret Wars 2. I read it. I want you to go back and read it.
You're a strong, strong man,
yeah.
Brian Bendis.
Go back and read it, and then shut up.
Say the fuck up. That's what
it was. Maybe the worst heinous thing that's ever happened. It was closest comics will ever get to a Holocaust.
Wasn't that the issue? Because I just talked to Brian Reed a couple of weeks ago. That was the issue that you guys both kind of like tore the script up back and forth, right?
Well, yeah, we all had an explosion of ideas. We could literally have written a 25-issue maxi series of that issue, but realizing that there might not be a market for it, so we did want to get all of the best of the ideas in that one issue. So we just kept going back and forth to the point where it might have been me who said, "Seriously, we're insane." Because no one knows we were doing it but us. Like, Tom Brevoort didn't know we were going back and forth 1,000 times on what is, not that difficult an issue. And we realized that we were literally in some kind of weird, insane...
It cracked me up, man.
Is there any institutional resistance to the Jerry Curl? For people, was there any push to...
Inner office memo?
Update the Beyonder to, perhaps...
Well,
if
Jimmy Chung called and said I quit, none of that would have surprised me because we literally said the Jerry Curl's there, the Michael Jackson suit is there, he's still pimping it, and I fully expected many people to leave the book, and I thought it was very brave of him to stick with it.
Well, reading a lot of DC stuff. They're so good over there right now about pulling on legacy characters from DC and pulling a lot of the obscure characters. I think Jeff Johns does this just about as good as anybody. And I know that Sal and I grew up as big Marvel fans, and it's kind of fun to see you guys pulling some of these characters to see like Brubaker, who's the bad guy he just used in Daredevil. The stone guy.
Yeah.
Sorry,
Tombstone.
Tombstone. But
Tombstone.
And the Beyonder. And
yeah, Mr. Fear.
Yeah. No, I've loved the Illuminati issues. And like I said, I liked that issue a lot.
It's
I loved
like
the ending of it.
Yeah,
and I did go, wow, that took a lot of balls. But at the same time, I'm like, damn it, man. Can't you just duck and cover once in a while? And not,
wait, like, how the fuck do you update the Beyonder's Wikipedia? Based on that issue. I can't update the Beyonder's Wikipedia entry.
I'm all for stuff on Wikipedia. Good for you. Jesus Christ.
Don't worry. Jim Shooter will do it for you.
No, listen.
You read that Secret Wars 2, and you can't tell. I'm not saying that everyone who worked on that book was Stone. Whacked out on coke. on crappy Studio 54 80s coke. But I imagine if you were whacked out on Studio 54... bad coke, that's what your writing would look like.
It would read a lot better if you were
coked up as well. Yeah, I'm sure it was brilliant.
I don't know. I've never done coke. I don't know.
I couldn't. I'm just
surmising.
We just sat through Blood Rain 2. So
seriously?
Seriously, oh, yeah. We did commentary.
I didn't, but
it was hours 13 and 14, I think, or yeah. 14 and
15. Did you bowl direct it?
Yes.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. If you want to call it that.
Yeah, if you want to call it directing.
He was there.
And
I think he gave his
Painkiller Jane in it?
His cinematographer must have been handicapped or something, because really the guy was incapable of holding a camera steady
at all. Different actress?
Yeah. Different actress. There were supposed to be vampires in it, but it turned into like a weird Western.
Without anything good about a weird Western.
Yeah. Like a lot of everything was in shadows, and they didn't appear to have a steady cam.
It's called an art
or an
film.
Editor.
It's an art film. He made an art film out of Blood.
Yeah, it's really
I'm
bad.
Fascinated by stuff like this, because you gotta think of it from this way. Two things either happened. Well, what's the name? Like Kristen Loken. Is that her name? Yeah. Who was the original Blood Rain?
Yeah, Kristen Loken.
Okay, so either she got the call to be in Blood Rain 2. And had to make that decision that, oh, my God, my career's come to the point where now I'm getting off of Blood Rain 2. Or something worse happened, and they didn't call her. And she didn't get called to be in Blood Rain 2. And that's horrifying as well.
That's real scary.
We need to go a different direction with the character.
Well, they did. Yeah.
Maybe she's outpriced.
Just saying, there's no good side of this.
They did have the redheaded kid from A Christmas Story, who Ralphie's nemesis, as Billy the Kid vampire.
So Billy the Kid with a weird Polish Oscar Wilde-esque like mannerisms with a horrible accent.
And an ascot.
Kind of like horse buckholes being in the Magnificent
Seven. As an office point of view, you got to understand, I was really flattered the stuff you were saying before about my work, but now I realize you guys like Blood Rain 2.
Oh, we didn't like it.
I actually liked it a lot more than you like our stuff.
Well, that was a different...
I think you got a lot more entertainment dollar out of it, so...
Hey!
I'm very sad now.
Say what you will about Bendis, but he definitely knows how to roll with the punches, and he's a pretty damn good writer, too. Maybe he's got problems with certain things that drive people crazy, but you know, for the amount of work he puts out, usually it's pretty good quality stuff. So that's our interview with Bendis. Probably the only time we'll ever talk to him. Yeah, you never know. Next up and finally, this is a little bit that I put together sort of as a tribute to one of the members of the 24-Hour Podcast. At about hour 20, as the night dwindled on, Chris Tabor, who I mentioned before, the night kind of caught up to him a little bit. And in hour 20, he spent a majority of it kind of making everybody else go, huh? And so I went in and I took out the best parts of that hour and of Mr. Tabor and put them together in a little, gag reel kind of thing for your enjoyment. I hope you guys do enjoy it. If you haven't heard Chris before, he's on the Crankcast. You can go to crankcast.net and check out that podcast by Chris Crank and Mike Norton. They do a great job, and it's one of my favorite podcasts, so you can definitely check it out there. But here is Chris Tabor in all of his glory.
Half of us are pantsless, and the other half are topless.
We're having a pants
I'm
off, pants
the
off.
The top half of my shirt is gone, and the bottom half of my pants is gone. I just have the middle.
I'm asleep currently, and I'm just talking
and
out of my dreams.
Faber is a zombie.
Asleep.
Yeah, I'm talking out of my dreams right now. Those guys are good. They actually are professional.
An hour or 2 hours?
As
something,
opposed
six or seven.
To what everybody else here.
Well, I mean, those guys could talk about whatever.
Yeah.
They could talk me out of my jeans.
So, yeah. Let's see.
Like my jeans. Like I'll.
Your genetics?
Yeah, my genetics. Yep. Yeah.
Stop being
out of your
you
DNA.
Are.
Yep. It is really like the show 24 done in a day. It's got more coherence than Jack Bauer.
You haven't read this thing, have you?
I haven't. There's a lot of cocks and some monkeys.
My wife.
Puking up a stomach.
I'm not married. That makes no sense. That sounds like something you should actually write. There's cocks, balls, and something that should be finished.
And I forgot the joke.
Yeah. Just write that. That's your dialogue. Okay, now we're going to have like a crazy, just balls-out discourse about a subject that we're going to... that Mike will pick. Mike,
you... It won't be comic books.
Man.
Please don't be comic books.
So you want you want viewing.
It doesn't matter.
You've chosen that as your life.
I'm okay with hanging. I can expound on hanging for hours.
Are you hanging now?
The subject is to the bathroom.
Yep. Please email us. We'll respond to emails in 2 hours or so. What are you doing with your eye, Mike?
Is that you cannot... Jesus.
Oh, man.
Someone punched him.
Yeah.
Oh.
Punched by entertainment.
Maybe not.
Come on, man. Keep it going.
Right now, he's a little bit too tired to actually want to hit you.
Actually,
this is all I got. This is all I got in life.
I think we've got a special surprise.
Every 3 weeks, I appreciate my life. You know, I've been using this podcast in my resumes.
Have you really?
Yeah.
Well, I was going to use it, like, for production value. Like,
yeah. I know, man. It's ridiculous. I hate that shit. But anyway, this guy, Brian, if you're listening... I don't know why he would be.
Yeah, why not even listening, you dumb bastard?
This guy, like, about a year ago asked me, like, hey, Taylor, I like zombie movies. What are good zombie movies? I gave him a list of, like, maybe 15. 8 zombie movies.
What?
And he said he's seen most of them, which to me means I rented one once. And I was talking to him on the internet. But it's still cool that someone...
What are you talking about?
He touched someone's life.
I don't understand.
If someone wants my input on random...
He wants coffee.
I drink coffee.
Cream sugar. Cream sugar, coffee.
You trailed off there. You started to lose it when you said I gave him a list of 15, 8, and he said he watched most of them, which means to me he read...
I was just thinking of Brian. I was thinking of Brian, like, you didn't give me 15. You gave me, like, 8. I was thinking of that. I was like, I don't want to... Brian, email us, man. Email us, brother.
I'm sure there's...
So anyway, like, that was...
Speaking of hungry brain...
My brain is hungry for some gina.
God. Oh, my Lord.
It wants to share its knowledge.
Jesus Christ.
Like old girl.
Write this down. Someone.
This is retarded.
No, it's bad enough. This is being recorded.
Yeah. It is.
This is going to be recorded forever.
Hour 20. It took us to hour 20 to break down.
Hour 20, we finally lose it.
We finally lost our feet again.
Oh, my God, yeah.
It is 5:15.
We had done 7 really good hours, and now it's falling apart.
Way to go, Tamer. Way to drag it right down.
That's what I'm here for. That's what I traveled down for. I mean, I do. I want to share my knowledge or have an Egg McMuffin. I can't tell what my brain is telling me right now.
Oh, sure, or an Egg McMuffin. Whichever is first, whichever I can accomplish first.
Vagina versus Egg McMuffin.
sure is knowledge.
They're both warm.
You kind of open it up when it's all melty.
Oh, no.
I'm going to hump it.
It's not right.
I'm totally going to hump that.
Mike, do you have poison ivy in your eye?
My eyes are burning. Seriously.
Wow.
I'm tired.
I know I'm handsome, but Jesus. Patrick, what movies did you watch this week?
I haven't seen movies in a while, actually. I don't
how can you not watch a movie? Yeah, I don't understand how you can live a life without watching a movie in a week.
Of course you don't. The whole world knows that. After
but how that is life.
Oh, yeah? I watched second episode of Chuck.
I haven't seen it yet. Don't tell me what happened.
They go to a store and there's stuff with people chasing them and people get killed.
We'll punch you in the sack and sack hump you.
Stop talking about my sack. You're gonna fuck my sack. You're gonna stretch it around your head. You're gonna punch it.
Stretched out over an
Jesus,
hour.
Jesus, how big do you think my sack is?
How small do you
wanna
think
see?
I am?
Do you want to see?
Oh, now this show's
no, this show's broken. This show is broken.
Do you have a video feed on that, Craig?
We've all become angry now.
I like how you say journeyman, like he's Jewish.
He's a Mel
Gibson. Have you seen Salt Journeyman?
What the fuck are you talking about?
That's a big Journeyman.
Salt. Oh, okay.
I'm Salt Journeyman. Well, the thing was, here's the original caveman pilot took place in Atlanta. They called themselves Maggers.
Hotlanta.
And it was just like, you can't compare yourself to the. It's supposed to be like the black experience, you know, but they're cavemen. And it's just, they didn't earn it. And now in the new incarnation, they're like yuppies playing squash. And I'm like, who are they supposed to be? Who plays squash? What? It was like, the thing is, it fails, but it fails in like such a fascinating way. It's like, it's not like some show that just like, it's a fucking family dramedy or whatever. Like, this is like, it's cavemen living in the modern age. And it's fucking retarded. Why are cavemen living here? And they suggested, like, it's like two societies living together. Because they show, like, here's a caveman on a bike. And he's, when they establish a scene, like, random caveman riding his bike across the screen. It's like, oh, so it's like there's lots of cavemen and cave women in this universe they've created. And it's dumb. It's fucking dumb.
Well, you know, even Phil Hartman,
what are they trying to say?
Caveman lawyer got...
Yeah, it is Unfrozen Caveman Lawyer,
and that
the series,
for
a half hour.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Seriously.
The only thing that comes, the only good thing that comes out of that show is that those actors don't have to put that in their resume, because no one will fucking know they were in that show.
For how bad everyone's saying the show is, you guys all seem to have watched it.
No, actually,
no, we watched it. You want to see how it failed. You want to see how bad it is. Like, it's like not watching like a show with Fran Drescher in it or something, and it's like, oh, this is going to be terrible. Let's just see how bad it is. No, it's...
You're grasping that mic like a lifeline.
I am, yes. Yeah.
He wants a spotlight and for all of us to go home.
No. I mean...
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Now it's time for the Tabor Show. We're going to talk about movies and TV shows that I love.
Patrick is getting a little dicky.
What?
What? I will fight you with my fists and feet.
At least he didn't say he's getting a big sacky. All right.
That's the thing. He doesn't need to get sacky.
Ball sack.
I have an issue. It's like if I let go, I throw up. This is how it goes. I like the candle we put here to like offset our geek stink.
Yeah.
What is this flavor? Ode to Social Interaction?
Yes.
Oh, I fucked up my joke. I can't relate to people who don't do that.
I haven't watched a movie since Independence Day.
I can't relate to people who watch
I figured
Caveman.
This is it.
It's like, that's how it ends.
Yeah. I thought about going to see Bad Boys 2, but I was like, I'll just wait.
I should have quit then, too, because I had a great date the night of Independence Day. Not actually at that movie, but it was the Wednesday that it came out. It was a really good night for me.
That's a good way to tie that in your memory.
Yeah.
You know, I had sex on the night Independence Day came out.
Mike, what did you do today?
Today? Today?
Been here, motherfucker.
I actually thought about it for a second before.
I said, what is it I do today? What does the brain man do?
You have to go change into some purple jean shorts.
I don't know. It's ridiculous because she's 5'10", super thin. He is like
5'10 is his weight?
5'8". He's got very little hair.
He doesn't know how... He doesn't know how to dial in the podcasts.
Tim?
Tim doesn't understand.
He doesn't know how to turn off his screen before
he goes to bed, yeah.
He puts his ear up to a Brussels sprout and hopes to hear something.
What the fuck? I brought a cauliflower.
What? Why are you talking?
It looks like a pod. A Brussels sprout is like a pod person. I can see Tim thinking that way.
Tim, yeah, let me grab this.
I hope this Brussels sprout talked back to me. I couldn't get it. That seems like a Chris Angel trick.
Mind freak!
It's not a trick. It's an illusion.
It's an illusion.
I was levitating the whole time. What the fuck?
What is that show that he and Yuri Geller are doing?
It's called
American Idol for Magicians.
Magicians, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Oh, I thought they were going to go around debunking stuff. Oh, no, damn. I thought it was like the Penn & Teller bullshit thing.
Oh, no. God. Chris Angel was on
Chris
Letterman.
Chris Angel's all about bullshit.
And I caught his trick. I deciphered his trick in HD.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He was like something like he was being put in a casket, and it was like on this, whatever.
A rolling track?
Yeah, a rolling track! David Blaine. David Blaine is where it's at, man. David Blaine's the one that I'm like, he's the devil. David Blaine is the devil. I will now make his cock disappear in my mouth. Is that what happened?
I always thought
I saw that one.
Gay, actually. I thought it was gay. No, there's this YouTube video.
The cock and balls talk coming out of this guy.
I'm from Wisconsin. That's all we do there.
The guy who missed the porn section, too.
Yeah, I know, man. I was out conversing.
It's like Jerry Lewis with his Nazi jokes. Whenever he always leans back on him.
It was probably like, help. I don't want to do this anymore.
He said that
I can't think of a time I stayed this late with four other men. That I cannot do.
Three tops.
Three
tops. Absolutely not.
Many times. Smaller amounts of men.
Before I have to get
okay,
right.
So, Scotty Young.
That's mine.
Yours?
Yes.
His girlfriend's name is what?
Casey.
Okay, so Scotty's like a more handsome version of myself. And Casey's like a more beautiful version of my girlfriend.
Wow, this is horrible. Wow.
Yeah. I was just thinking. Just thinking about it. My girlfriend doesn't listen to this. I was just thinking about it. Right now.
That explains.
I wish she was here now. I wish she was here to make it not look awkward. Anyway, she's an attractive lady. I wish my girlfriend was creative and sang songs.
Wow.
What does your girlfriend do?
I don't know what to say about that.
What does my girlfriend? What does my girlfriend do?
I don't know
she
where
moves
to go
out.
From that.
All right.
She moves out. No, she's really. You know, I noticed that back when at Tim's 30th birthday. Tim's 30th birthday. I'm like, dude, Scotty looks like me-ish. He's dressed like me. He's got like the corduroy jacket that I have.
Actually, to keep the mannerisms going, I get a kind of a Greg Titus vibe off of you at certain points.
Greg Titus, was that Fox show?
Yes.
Yeah.
Snorted into them. So where do we go? Well, I'm happy with my girlfriend. I think she's creative enough.
What does she do?
She's a labor union organizer.
A labor union organizer. That's great. That's a creative.
I'm completely happy
line
with my
work.
Girlfriend.
She does other stuff too.
Okay.
What does your girlfriend
do? Chris, your
girlfriend
she's
a social
is a
worker.
More attractive than some
she's
of
a social
the
worker.
Oh, that's creative.
I've imagined. Yeah.
She thinks of new ways to not be raped by crazy people.
Why do the old ways not work anymore?
New ways to do
how many
it.
Times you have to keep trying before it's gonna be a failsafe? When doesn't it?
He's crying now. He's crumbled.
Wow.
He's hunched over. We broke Tabor.
Hour 20, harsh reality.
This is the cold, hard light of dawn.
There you go.
To come.
There's a slack. There, yeah. Pick it up.
This is what happens.
Mike's just crying now.
Is Mike crying because of his life now, too? Or Tabor's making me rethink every decision I've ever made.
How do I avoid getting raped by a homeless man? Am I doing it right?
I've been doing it wrong this whole time.
Oh, God. I've been using the old ways. What about these new ways?
I hope Julie's not going to listen to this hour.
We were at this cookout once, at my friend's house. He's got this fire pit behind his house.
This is going to end in homeless rape.
I wish my girlfriend was as good at barbecuing as that.
No.
He's like, what do I smell cooking? You bend over there. No, mister, stop it. Let me get a little...
It's done. You stuttered. You stuttered. It's done. Okay. So we were... It was a bunch of us. There's like 10 of us at this cookout, you right? And it's like 2, 3 in the morning, right? And we are... We're just sitting there just talking. And all of a sudden, I see like the tip of a...
Oh, Jesus. Don't hit it. No.
A guitar.
Yeah.
Just poking out of the darkness. Just peeking out of the darkness. I'm like, did somebody bring a guitar? All of a sudden, this dude stands up like, hey, everyone. She's like... I'm like, I just noticed this fucking tip of this fucking guitar. He's like, hey. He's like, who are you? He's like, I'm Lloyd.
You make it sound like he showed up out of a puff of smoke.
He absolutely fucking did, dude.
Could you say, why don't you bring a bag of money?
And the problem was, like, I didn't know how long he was waiting there for us to acknowledge him. Like, you just see, like, blackness, tip of a guitar.
You smell like,
hey, there's a guitar there. I was like, hey, everyone. So He just sat down, and we just kind of ignored him, and he smelled like a homeless dude. He fucking smelled like ass marinated in more ass. And it was...
Ass, man. Keep going.
Yes.
Keep going,
and it was just like, oh, man, it's fucking awful. It's ass marinated in ass rolled in sand.
Sand?
And then put out in the sun. Okay, so...
All right, don't stop.
So he starts singing songs. He starts singing songs and was, like, riding the train. And by the train, he meant heroin. So he's, like, just singing these songs, all these songs about heroin and whatever.
Whatever.
And we're just like,
what
all
if
right,
they were
man.
Really just songs about he was a train enthusiast? Yeah.
No, he was literally, like...
Riding the train, pointing at his arm, like...
It was...
So what happened with this guy? You take him home?
Well, no, he...
He was hit by a train!
We let him sing three songs.
He raped his girlfriend.
Oh, God.
No.
Rape. Everyone.
No. Rape is not funny. So he sings three songs, all either a variation of heroin addiction or whatnot. And my girlfriend and her friend, who's also she's a social work, she's actually in social work school. I'm like, what are you guys doing? These are the guys you guys help. And like, I'm off the clock.
They have schools?
So I'm like, she's a social worker. She won't even...
Handshakes?
I acknowledge this homeless. What's that? Yeah, that's ridiculous. Well, you should always be. You should not.
I don't know about that. Cause, I
secret
mean,
society is called.
Oh, I can see that, but like you chose it, man. You chose like I'm gonna help people in trouble.
Mason thing.
When I get paid for it.
You just know one.
Right. But they were just sitting there like, and my girlfriend, she stopped smoking like 5 years ago, but she started smoking all of a sudden. So she went out to the deck of this house, and it was what you guys doing. It was like, it's like I'm off duty. She's like literally like just smoking, like I'm off duty. I'm like, you're really off duty. I'm like, you are so way off duty right now. It's like you won't help the homeless guy. You're suddenly taking up smoking.
What does the smoking have to do with social work?
No, exactly. Exactly. No, it's not just social work. It's just like she became a different person. It's like,
I don't know what you're talking.
Not only am I going to help this guy in need, I'm going to start smoking again.
What did that have to do with the song?
It was the detail. It was the detail of the situation.
What? Sounds like she's more angry that she decided to start smoking.
You know what?
You get
what?
I think Mike knows what I'm saying. Mike is going to acknowledge what I'm
saying. It's not that I know what you're saying.
She does have a full-time job.
I thought I was going to be the one breaking down. I thought I was going to be the one making no sense and just babbling incoherently about crap.
I'm not going to vomit it. I've decided.
On the equipment or the table. If you're going to vomit into this coffee cup.
Vomit, not happening.
That was not good enough for you?
Oh, I didn't know.
So anyway.
Screw you, Celia.
Yeah, so anyway. Back to rape.
Oh, no more rape.
Rape avoidance. God. This could be an educational
I wish
segment.
You got back on his balls. That would be more comfortable. I think that's
I don't
super ground
on my balls.
Point.
Hey, I was never on his balls, so I can't get back on them.
That's a topic I think we can cover a little bit. Without quite being
from what I've heard,
offensive.
I don't think we can cover him.
How long is
this? This is podcast gold.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to keep things going. I'm just going to jibba-jabba.
No shit.
Until you mofos you say something of import.
We're just stepping back and watching.
Did you guys ever watch You know the problem is I don't have a filter on my mic. Yeah, all this nonsense won't come through.
It blocks everything. Mine blocks everything. I have a therapist coming in an hour to help us with the rest of the show. I'm having a therapist coming.
Crank just made quick love to me.
Topics are.
Because I'm always like adverse to like I'm like it's cable TV. It's gonna have the production values of like a homemade porn.
Great, great production values.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that, I know. So since I found out that it didn't have the production values of homemade porn. Well, no, I felt like I missed out. I'm like, oh, wow, Kreskin. No, but no, I can't comment because I haven't seen either.
Okay.
You know, but the thing is, I've seen this movie, Cashback, who is about this guy who has this breakdown, can't sleep, so he gets a job. Wait for this to come to fruition. Can't sleep.
Can't keep up with him.
Oh, you know, his girlfriend in the movie Cashback is the bionic woman. I do. Yes, whatever it is, I do. Yes. Oh, these aren't going to be aired, right? These hours.
They're going to be up within 20 minutes.
Was going to be the highest.
The laughter is sobering me up. Who wants to get me a beer out of the fridge?
It's going
to
be Bendis and this.
Ah, yes, Chris Tabor, my new favorite movie guy. Like I said, he had been there all day, 24 hours. He was drinking a bit, and it just kind of caught up to him eventually. So, Tabor, if you hear this, I hope you know it's with love, buddy. Anyway, that will do our 141st episode, I think it is. Next week we're going to be back to the roundtable. All four of us will be talking about some stuff, and I believe even the return of one of the most popular, demanded segments from our previous incarnation of podcast. So check in for that next week. I've got a few announcements here to finish up the show. You can join our Friends of the Program at AroundComics.com, where you can download and print out our LCS Challenge flyer. Ask your comic shop manager or owner if they will display it in their store. If they do, send us an email. We'll mention you and the store on the show, as well as post it on our site. Become a Friend of the Program today. We want to thank everybody who wrote iTunes review. We love the iTunes reviews. You can go to iTunes Store and write us a review there. I want to thank InStockTrades.com again for sponsoring this episode. And we want to say that we are proud to help support the Hero Initiative. Hero creates a financial safety net for yesterday's creators who need emergency medical aid, financial support for essentials of life, and an avenue back into paying work. It's a chance for all of us to give back something to the people who have given us so much enjoyment. For more information, visit HeroInitiative.org or call 310-909-7809. That'll do it. I'd like to thank no one for joining me today, but I would like to thank everybody from the 24-hour podcast. It was a lot of fun. I know it was a lot of work, especially Mike and Crank. Those guys did a great job of getting it put together, and we had a blast doing it, so hopefully it won't be the last one. I know Mike doesn't want to talk to anyone, let alone on a podcast, but I wouldn't be surprised if we do it again sometime. Other than that, I'd like to tell everybody to have a fantastic week. We'll be back again on Monday with another new episode, and hopefully there'll be some good stuff in that one, too. In the meantime, we will be everywhere in and around comics. Like to suggest a topic? Send us your comments, or are interested in becoming a panel member? Email us at info@aroundcomics.com or visit the Contact Us section of our website. Music for the show provided by the Podshow Podsafe Music Network. Music.podshow.com. Views expressed in the interviews or by guests of the show are solely those of the individuals expressing them and do not reflect the opinions of Around Comics. Thank you for listening today, and remember to join us next time when the panel will change, but our mission will stay the same. Bringing you the very best news, reviews, and opinions in and around comics. Around Comics is a Pipe Dream production. Copyright 2007, all rights reserved. Love you, baby. Yeah. Why you got my love and left me alone? Why you got
Speaking of hungry brain.
My brain is hungry for some gina.
Gosh.